This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Bruchim Abam, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome to the Kollel Agudah Pirka of Kew Gardens Hills, New York, and Agudah Pirka B'chol Mekaymos Shehem. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We have a fantabulous subject this morning. Really something extraordinary. Parshas Shmini. And Parshas Shmini speaks about the karbanos that were brought on the eighth day of the Miluim. And, of course, the first 7 days, the karbanos are recorded in Parshas Tetzaveh. And Rashi in Parshas Tetzaveh makes note of the fact that the par, which was a chatas chitzayna, a chatas that its blood was sprinkled on the Adar Mizbeach, this is the only karban chatas chitzayna which is burnt and not consumed. On the pasuk in Tetzaveh, v'yes besar ha-par v'es oiroi v'yes pershoi, tisroif ba'esh michutz la-machaneh chatas hu. Rashi says, tisroif ba'esh lo matzinu chatas chitzayna nisrefes elazu. We do not find any chatas that is burnt on the outer mizbeach. We don't find any chatas brought on the outer mizbeach that is consumed in fire and not actually eaten, except for this. This is an anomaly. There are many anomalies in Parsha Shmini. This is one of them, namely that this karban chatas is not consumed. That's what Rashi says in Tetzaveh. Rashi in Shmini, likewise, in our Parsha, makes note of the fact that the par that was brought on the eighth day, v'yes ha-basar, v'yes ha-ar, saraf ba'ish michutz ha-machaneh, Rashi says, lo imatzinu chatas chitzayna nisrefes elazu. We do not find a karban chatas chitzayna that is consumed by fire except for this. V'shal miluim, and the karban miluim that was brought in the 7 days of the miluim, v'kulam al pi adibor, and they were all gezeres hakasav, that they were consumed by the fire and they were not eaten. So this is certainly worthy of our attention. Why is it normally a karban chatas is eaten, and yet this is a karban chatas chitzayna, both the karban brought on the first 7 days and the karban brought on the eighth day, and it was not eaten? And I know you've had a hard time sleeping for many, many weeks because of this question, just by the look on your eyes and the drowsiness that you look like you're experiencing. That can only be explained by not knowing the answer to this question. So I appreciate that you came today, and Be'ezus Hashem, after this year, you'll be able to sleep more peacefully. Comes a Chizkuni, Reb Chizkiyahu Chizkuni, one of the great Rishonim of Provence in the 13th century. We don't know too much about his personal life. And his commentary on Chumash was culled from about 20 different Rishonim. He usually does not quote his sources, and he did that philosophically. In other words, this was his shita, because he felt that if he's going to tell you where he got the information from, you will judge it by its cover based on who said it. And instead, he'd rather that you judge the information based on the content and not based on the cover and who said it. Anyway, the Chizkuni actually asks that there are a number of other exceptions to this rule, that a chatas chitzayna, which is normally consumed, it was burnt. For example, not only the karban in Parshas Tetzaveh, not only the karbanos in Parshas Shmini, however, if you look in Parshas V'haloyscha, the second par of the Levium that is mentioned in Parshas V'haloyscha as part of the inauguration of the Levium, and in Sefer Ezra, the goats that were brought as Karban Chatois, the 12 goats, those were all burnt as well. And in Yechezkel, the Par Chatos La'asud Lavoi, these are all Chatois Chitzonios, and they're all Nisrafois, and they are not Ne'achalois. So basically, at the end of the day, we have five exceptions to the rule of Chatois Chitzonios that are burnt by fire and are not consumed. Number one, the carbon parmiluim of Parsha Tzatzaveh. Number two, the parmiluim of the Yom Hashmini. Number three, the second par of the inauguration of the Leviim in Parsha Bahaloscha. Number four, the karbanos in Sefer Ezra. The 12 chatois in Sefer Ezra. And finally, the par mentioned in Yecheskel that will be brought, la'asid lavai. These are all nesrafais and not ne'achalais. And the Chizkuni is troubled. Why? Rashi didn't mention all of these. Rashi only mentioned miluim. So he could say that all of these karbanos are miluim. The second par brought by the Leviim were a miluim because they inaugurated their service through this par. And likewise, the karbanos brought in the days of Ezra and the parchatos l'sulavai are all miluim. And therefore, when Rashi says, v'shel miluim, Rashi refers to all of these karbanos. When Rashi says in Shemini, l'matzinu chatos chitzenos rabbis elzu, v'shel miluim, miluim encompasses the miluim of Tetzaveh, the miluim of Bahaloischa, the miluim of Ezra, and the miluim of Yechezkel. And the question is why? Why were these chatois burnt? Well, the Chizkuni starts off by saying, he says that Kvar pirish hatam beparshas tetzaveh uveparshas tzav. The Chizkuni in this week's parsha says, I already explained it in tetzaveh and in tzav. Now, we don't really have anything in parshas tzav, so our last resort is what the Chizkuni writes in parshas tetzaveh. And regarding that, the Chizkuni says, why were the karbanos burnt and not eaten? Says the Chizkuni, hoil v'heim karbanos of shokoyhen atzmai, since they were the karbanos of the kohen himself. Like we find that the minchas kohen kolel tia. Since these were all the karbanos of the kohen himself, they are completely consumed in fire, as the pasuk says, by the mincha of the Kohen, kolel tihiyah. However, then the Chizkuni drops the very interesting possibility. And then he says, tam acher lama zen nisraf. Another reason why these carbon chatois were burnt, because chatasu, it is a chatas. Nesinas tam lama nisraf. It's providing a reason why it was burnt. Lefi shaba lechitoi hamizbeach. Because this carbon came to purify the mizbeach. Meaning to inaugurate the Mizbeach, Kedachsev v'chitesa al ha-Mizbeach. V'lama nigmar ha-chitoi rak bedamim. V'loi nigmar ha-chitoi rak bedamim. That means the inauguration of the Mizbeach was executed with blood. Nimtza, so it comes out at the time of the Shechita, it was as if there was no Mizbeach. V'avakilu yotzo l'chutz. So it's like the carbon went outside, she'enoi nechal, that it wasn't eaten. In other words, what the Chizkuni seems to be saying is that the reason why these karbanos were not eaten is, let's think about it. What was the purpose of the carbon? To render the Mizbeach a good Mizbeach. That means before the carbon was brought, it wasn't a good Mizbeach. Which means the carbon technically was not brought on a Mizbeach. So if the carbon wasn't brought on a Mizbeach, you can't eat it. It's, so to speak, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, but before the prophecy is fulfilled, then it's unfulfilled. So the carbon chatos renders it a mizbeach. But if it needs to render it a mizbeach, then it wasn't a carbon. Meaning, you're bringing a carbon to make the mizbeach a good mizbeach. That means before you bring the carbon, it wasn't a good mizbeach. That means you didn't bring the carbon on a good mizbeach. If you didn't bring the carbon on a good mizbeach, how could you eat it? Which leaves us with the interesting question, well, if you can't eat it, then how did you bring it in the first place? And then how is it a good mizbeach? In other words, if the reason you can't eat it is because the carbon is needed to make it a good mizbeach, which means when you were bringing the carbon, you weren't bringing on a good mizbeach. So then, if the carbon can't be eaten because the carbon wasn't brought in a good mizbeach, then what made it a good mizbeach? Because you never had a carbon to make it into a good mizbeach. I mean, this seems to be some kind of simultaneous effectuation. I would like to dub this concept. I'm going to coin a new phrase. called simultaneous effectuation. And there are examples of this throughout Halacha and throughout Shas of two things that happen simultaneously. Can they be simultaneously effective and be effectuated? Or do we say as follows? Do we say, well, A causes B. Well, if A causes B, and B is needed to then cause A, then it can't get started. You can't get your first foot forward. In other words, everything in this world has a Siba and a Masoivev. You have a cause and an effect. If the effect is then needed to be a cause for the cause, then the cause cannot affect the first effect to begin with. So, in other words, if a carbon is needed to make it a good Mizbeach, and you need a good Mizbeach to render it a good carbon, then you can't have a good carbon in the first place. So I want to share with you three paradoxes in Halacha that the Minchas Chinuch discusses as a sort of a way to help our minds adjust to the dilemma that we're facing over here. I remember many years ago, I was at the shira of Rabbi Yonison Sachs, the Rosh Shiva of Beis Medrash LeTalmud on 150th Street, and he collected a number of the paradoxes mentioned in the Minchas Chinuch that I would like to say over and share with you. The first paradox is found in the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Beis Ois Tezayin, and that is, namely, let's say, what's the halacha? You're allowed to do Mila on Shabbos. Yeah, we know you're allowed to do Mila on Shabbos. V'yom HaShmini, Yimo B'sar Olasai. What if it's Mila Shaloi B'Zmana? Are you allowed to do Mila Shaloi B'Zmana on Shabbos? No, you cannot do Mila Shaloi B'Zmana on Shabbos. Is Mila Shaloi B'Zmana on Shabbos a good Mila? No. Because you know how to do it then, and it's Chil Shabbos. So here's the paradox. Why is Mila Shaloi B'Zmana on Shabbos Chil Shabbos? But aren't you being Mekalkel? No, you're doing a Mila, so you're Tikkun. Okay, so if I'm doing a Mila and it's Tikkun, then the person doing the Mila is being Mechal Shabbos. If the person doing the Mila is Mechal Shabbos, he's a Mumar. If he's a Mumar, then he's a heretic. If he's a heretic, the Mila is not effective. If the Mila is not effective, then it's a Kilkel. If it's a Kilkel, he's not Mechal Shabbos. If he's not Mechal Shabbos, he's a good Jew. If he's a good Jew, give him Shlishi. If you give him Shlishi, he's a good Jew. If he's a good Jew, he could do a Mila. If he could do a Mila, then he's Mechal Shabbos. If he's Mechal Shabbos, he's a Mumar. If he's a Mumar, it's not a good Mila. If it's not a good Mila, it's a Kilkel. If it's a Kilkel, then he wasn't Mechal Shabbos. If he wasn't Mechal Shabbos, he's a good Jew. If he's a good Jew, give him after. You give him after, then he could do Mila. If he could do Mila, it's a good Mila, and it's a Tikkun. If it's a Tikkun, he's Mechal Shabbos. If he's Mechal Shabbos, then it's not a good Mila. If it's not a good Mila, he wasn't Mechal Shabbos. Then he's a good Jew, and it is a good Mila. So is it a good Mila or not? If it's a good Mila, then he's desecrating Shabbos. And if he's desecrating Shabbos, it's not a good Mila. If it's not a good Mila, then he's not desecrating Shabbos. And if he's not desecrating Shabbos, he's a good Jew and he could do Mila. What's the reason it's not a good Mila? What's the reason it's not a good Mila? It's not a good Mila because it's Chil Shabbos. It's only Chil Shabbos if he's a good Jew. But if it's Chil Shabbos, he's not a good Jew. V'tzarchian. Says the Minchas Chinuch, V'tarti desasri hadadi. It's a, what we call a Chozer Chalila, a paradox in Halacha. Or here's another instance. It's the last day of Adar, 30th day of Adar. Two Edom come and they say, we saw the new moon. It's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. There are two 12-year-old kids about to become bar mitzvah standing there. They become bar mitzvah on Rosh Chodesh Adar. Had these two Edim not come, they would have remained not bar mitzvah. But because they testify that it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, These two kids standing there are now become bar mitzvah. They then testify that how could you guys say, it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that you saw the new moon? You were with us in Disneyland on the day that you claim you saw the new moon. So they're saying that these Eidim are testifying that it's a new moon, are Eidim Zoymimin. Well, if they're Eidim Zoymimin, then they can't testify that it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. If they can't testify it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, then these kids are not bar mitzvah. If the kids are not bar mitzvah, then they can't say they're Eidim Zoymimim. Oh, so then they're kosher Eidim. So they could testify that it's Rosh Chodesh. But if they testify it's Rosh Chodesh, they're rendering these two Eidim kosher Eidim. Now that these two Eidim are kosher Eidim, they're testifying that the Eidim who saw the new moon are Eidim Zoymimim because they were with them. So if they're not good Eidim, if they couldn't have testified that it's Rosh Chodesh, then the two kids are not bar mitzvah. If they're not bar mitzvah, they can't disqualify the Eidim. So the Eidim that say that it's Rosh Chodesh, the implicit in that is they become Eidim Zoymimin. But if they become Eidim Zoymimin, then they're not Kosher Eidim. If they're not Kosher Eidim, then the two people that testify about them are not bar mitzvah. So what do you do? So you say, okay, so maybe don't accept their testimony. But here's the thing. Right now they walk into Beis Din, there's no reason not to accept their testimony. And Beis Din is commanded to accept the testimony of kosher witnesses, which they are. Right now, walking into Beis Din, they're absolutely kosher witnesses. It's just upon the acceptance of their testimony that renders another two Eidim valid Eidim, who then testify that the Eidim who testified about the new moon are Eidim Zoymimim. And therefore the Minchas Chinuch says, Veheich li dainuhu dainei lahaidina. How should judges judge such a case of simultaneous effectuation? One last case. If somebody writes on top of something that was already written, that's not considered kesiva on Shabbos. But what if it was a get that was written shaloi lishma? There's a way to make it lishma. If you write on top of it on lishma, the get becomes kosher. Now, what if two Eidim, what if somebody writes on top of the get written shaloi lishma, let's say somebody writes lishma, but writes it on Shabbos. Is that a good get or is that not a good get? Well, if they write on Shabbos, then they become a mumar. If they become a mumar, it's a pasul get. If it's a pasul get, then they're not being koisev anything because it's already written and they're not being machshir the get. So then they weren't mechal Shabbos. So if they weren't mechal Shabbos, they're not a mumar. So if they're not a mumar, they could write the get. But once they write the get, they're desecrating Shabbos. And once they desecrate a Shabbos, they're disqualifying themselves. And once they're disqualified, then they're not writing anything. And once they're not writing anything, they're not desecrating Shabbos. And then, in that case, they're a kosher Jew, and then the get is good. So these are what we call three scenarios of paradox in halacha. In other words, the chilul Shabbos makes it that they're not able to write a get. But if they're not able to write a get, then there's no ksivan Shabbos. And if there's no ksivan Shabbos, then they're not a mumar. And if they're not a mumar, they can write the get. So it's a never-ending vicious cycle. But in halacha, there is something called boim ka'achas. For example, if somebody gives a get to their wife. Normally, a married woman has no yad. She has no ability to be koina. Yad ishtoi ki yad baila. A woman picks something up, her husband owns it. A woman does not have a yad to be koina. A woman does not have a chatzar. However, upon divorce, a woman gets a yad, and a woman gets a chaser. So the question is, how can one divorce their wife if in order for a woman to get divorced, she has to be kinda the get, but she can't be kinda the get if she has no yad, she has no ability to accept something as an independent entity. So how could a man divorce a woman, but the woman doesn't have a yad to accept the get in the first place? So the Gemara in Gittin says in Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, Rava Amar Kitay V'yaday Ba'in Ka'achas. Her document of divorce allows her to have a yad, and the fact that she has a yad allows her to accept her document of divorce. So these are two things. A is dependent on B. Her being divorced is dependent on her having a yad. Her having a yad is dependent on her being divorced. So how could she get a yad before she's divorced? So we say simultaneous effectuation. But now the million-dollar question is, why did the Chizkuni say that the reason you can't eat the carbon chatas, the reason why the chatas chitzoino was burnt and not eaten, is because how can you be makriv a chatas to inaugurate the mizbeach if so long as the mizbeach is not inaugurated, then you can't bring a carbon chatas? So the chatas was invalid and therefore you can't eat it. Well, why can't we say chatasoy v'mizbechoy ba'an ka'achas? That in order for it to be a good carbon chatas, you need a mizbeach. In order for it to be a mizbeach, you need a good carbon chatas. So let it happen simultaneously. Obviously, it works that it's a good carbon. So if it's a good carbon, why can't you eat it? So this is the question of Rabbi Yosef Engel, the great Goyin. Rabbi Yosef Engel in the Sefer Beis Ha'oitzar, Mareches Beis, Klal Tes, Bo'an Ke'echad. Yedidi, Rav Hersh Friedman.
Somebody is not mute.
Mi sampe ba'adam, umi yasum ilayim. That's what we're looking for. Yeah, please mute yourself. As Moshe Rabbeinu says, umi yasum ilayim. Anyway, that's the question. Why can't we say that the Chizkuni seems to be saying you can't eat the carbon chatos because the chatos is needed to be machshir the mizbeach, but it's not a mizbeach yet, and therefore the chatos is no good? Let them come simultaneously. So this is a question dealt with by Rabbi Yosef Engel, and they're now republishing many, many of the svarim of Rabbi Yosef Engel. My good friend, Rav Hersh Friedman of Muncie, has a machon that's republishing the Svarim of Rabbi Yosef Engel. They just came out with Oitz Reis Yosef on Shavuos, and they're republishing many, many of his Svarim. If anybody wants to have the zchus of being involved in the publication of Rabbi Yosef Engel's Svarim, then contact the machon Oyavei Toira of Muncie, New York, Rav Hersh Friedman, and Rabbi Yosef Engel gave a haftacha and a promise that those who help publish the Sfarim, he will be mamlitz for them in the Olam HaElyon. Anyway, this comes from the Sefer Beis HaOitzar. And Rabbi Yosef Engel is dealing with this very perplexing and complex issue of, on the one hand, obviously, the carbon that was brought was a valid carbon. That means we say regarding the carbon, even though the carbon is inaugurating the mizbeach, the carbon is valid because it simultaneously effectuates the kashrus of the mizbeach and its own kashrus. And nevertheless, the Chizkuni is saying, but they couldn't eat the carbon. Why is that? So Rabbi Yosef Engel says something really out of this world. He says, if the Chizkuni says that the purification took place with the blood, that means at the time of the Shechita, there wasn't a carbon. That implies that at the end of the day, the Mizbeach was purified. And even though the purification is what's mekadesh the mizbeach and rendering it a mizbeach, but we don't consider the purification that it was not done on a mizbeach, because we say the purification and the mizbeach happened simultaneously. So that means it was purified on a mizbeach. So then why regarding the shechita, are you not able to say that the shechita also simultaneously was machshir the mizbeach. So perhaps maybe one would have said that, well, there's a difference between the shechita and the purification. The shechita took place before the mizbeach was purified. So that means regarding the shechita, it was like shechted mi bachutz. But the purification, which is simultaneous to the effectuation of the mizbeach, that in fact did happen simultaneously with the mizbeach becoming effectuated. But then if the shechita is not good, then the mizbeach should not be good. So Rabbi Yosef Engel says something that's really out of this world. He says, we know in halacha there's a concept of basachas, that a person could divorce a woman, he could give her a get. He's giving a get to a woman who has no yad, but by giving her the get, she gets a yad. So that means the effectiveness of the get and her acquiring a yad happens simultaneously. So there is a concept of Gitoy v'yad b'ankach. There's a concept that when A causes B, and B is needed to cause A, they could both happen simultaneously. That doesn't work in every realm, says Rabbi Yosef Engel. The only way you could have something called ba'ankachas, that A causes B, even though B is needed to cause A, so how did A cause B to begin with? That's only in the realm of heaven, in something relevant to God. Because something can only happen simultaneously. If A is needed to cause B, and yet A can't get off the ground if B isn't here, that is only philosophically and ideologically possible in the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who exists beyond the confines of time. So in the realm of God, you could have the concept of Bas Achas, that A causes B, even though A cannot exist without B causing it. But in the realm of God, in the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who exists beyond the confines of time, because since HaKadosh Baruch Hu created time, He's not bound by its confines. So whatever is relevant to God, it could happen b'vas achas. So God needs a mizbeach because the Mishkan requires a mizbeach. And even though you can't have a mizbeach without a carbon, but the carbon can't be affected without a mizbeach, God says, no problem. This is my business. In my business, things can happen simultaneously. Even though A causes B, and A can't exist without B causing it, God says, I can navigate that time issue. Because the confines, the restrictions of time do not apply to me. I created it, and I transcend it. But regarding the kohen eating the carbon, that's something relevant to flesh and blood, to man. Man is bogged down. Man is governed by the restrictions and confines of time. So regarding the mizbeach, it's a kosher mizbeach. Even though it's only mizbeach if it's a good carbon. And it's not a good carbon unless you had a mizbeach to bring it on. Nevertheless, God says, I can navigate that issue. I exist beyond the restrictions of time. But you don't. And therefore, you can't eat the carbon. So it's a good mizbeach regarding the carbon vis-a-vis me, but it's not a good mizbeach regarding the carbon vis-a-vis you. Because you live la kol zaman va'ez. You live under the tachas hashemesh. You live under the sun. You're governed by the movement of the sun. I ain't governed by that. I created la kol zaman va'ez. That's the approach of Rabbi Yosef Engel. That the concept of Bas Achas is only applicable in the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not in the realm of flesh and blood. And therefore, that's the meaning of the Chizkuni, that while it's a good, the par, Chitzoyna, is a valid carbon, it's only good vis-a-vis creating the Mizbeach, relative to God, but not relative to the Kayin who wants to eat it. So,
Rabbi, then why would he say that get works?
So Michael's asking, so then how could a get work? Because the get is seemingly in the realm of man, in the interaction between husband and wife. This is a human interaction. So then we should not apply the rule of Bas Achas. So to that, Rabbi Yosef Engel says, this is very sublime, and you can't compare one case to the next, and this is one of the highest realms of Jewish thought, and there's no extrapolation, And this is just how it works by the Karban Chatas of the Miluim. However, the Rugged Shavar addresses this question. The question Rav Michael is asking...
And Eved is also Eved Meshuchra.
Yes.
Same thing.
Right, Eved Meshuchra, how do you free your slave? He has no yad. So you say, give him a document of severance. Yeah, but he doesn't have a yad. Yeah, but he'll get one after he gets the get shichur. But you, how do you give it to him in the first place? Well, the good part about not asking the question about the Eved is we don't have to answer that question, because the answer seems only to work for the case of get, but it's hard to see how it works for the case of Eved Meshuchar. So Rabbi Rachmiel's question, we might not have a good answer for. But let's say over the Ragachavar. The Ragachavar is found in Parshas Lech Lecha. Here's another paradox. So you have a Gentile, he wants to convert. There's no Moyal in the city. The Gentile happens to be the Moyal. Could the Gentile circumcise himself? So that's another imponderable of the Minchas Chinuch, Minchas Oys Yedaled. And he says, it's Pashut, it cannot work. How could he circumcise himself? He's a Goy, as long as he is not Mal V'Taval. However, the Minchas Chinuch says, according to the Poskim, that Tevila and then Mila helps by a ger, so maybe if he goes to the mikvah first, he could circumcise himself. But, so now the question is, yeah, but didn't Avraham circumcise himself? So the Pasuk says, V'Avraham ben Tishim Basei Shashana Behi Mailai Besar Alasai. And there's an ancient version of Rashi that Avraham took the knife and he grabbed the arla and he wanted to cut it. Ma osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sholach Yodoi V'Ochazim. God held his hand and cut with him. Shenemar V'Chorois Imoi HaBris. I cut with him the bris. Says the Tzafnas Paneach. He says, let me see if I can read it better in mind. He says, since before Mila, Avraham was a guy, how could he do it himself? It's how could he make himself a Yisrael v'yava ke'echad? And says the Ragachavar, the geder of when you could say baka achas is that only works by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, who is the essence of yichud, like the Rambam says. Now, only God could do things simultaneously. So how does Gittin work? Says the Ragachavar, Gittin is godly. Like Chazal say in the Yushalmi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meyachid shemoy on the Kedushin and the Get. And therefore, it's an effectuation of the divine, not an effectuation of man. That's what the Yushalmi says. Lamadnu goyim ein lam kedusha ma'o sheilam gerushin. So the Gemara says, Rav Chanani b'shem Rav Pinchas kol ha'parsha k'siv Hashem tzavakos v'kan k'siv elekei yisol la'medcha shelo yichet ha'kodshom shmai ha'gerushin elo b'yisol b'lvad. So the Ragachavar seems to be addressing the question that has been asked. Namely, how can, if basachas is only possible in the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could we say Gita v'yadai ban ka'achas? To which the Ragachavar says, the Yushalmi teaches us that the chalois, the effectuation of a get, is a divinely created effectuation, and therefore it can in fact happen simultaneously. So this is a very wondrous idea, that regarding the Karban Chatas, it's an effective carbon regarding inaugurating the Mizbeach and rendering it a Mishkan, because in the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can do things bevasachas, where A causes B and B is needed to cause A to exist. But that is only effective regarding the spiritual realm and not regarding the person himself. Why? Because God is not bound by time. Now this is a very important concept that I just want to speak about briefly. You know, we know that there's an idea that we're supposed to do mitzvahs bezrizus, with alacrity, with energy, not to waste time. The simple reason is, because if we allow time to elapse, maybe we'll encounter a hurdle and we won't end up doing it. The Maharal says there's a more fundamental reason why we have to do mitzvahs energetically, quickly. He says that every mitzvah is a command of the divine, of God. And God exists beyond the confines of time. And therefore His command and His word is also an eternal command. And in order to be true to the activity that one is being engaged, what one is engaged in order to be loyal, in order to be true to what one is occupied in, if one does it slowly with bogged down, then they obviously are not recognizing what they're involved in. They're involved in something that exists beyond the confines of time. So therefore, in order to be appropriately executing this type of activity, it has to be executed in a godly way. Namely, obviously we can't do things so quickly that they don't take time, but as much as possible to do it with the least elapsing of time as possible, that is the most appropriate way to perform a mitzvah. And this is something that Avraham Avinu taught the world, that not only did God create the world, but God is the God of time. And time is a creation. And God exists outside of the confines of this creation. When Avraham Avinu planted a tree in Be'er Sheva, and he called out, B'Shem Hashem Keil Oilam, says Asfarno, V'kara V'hoidia L'Rabim, he made it known, Sha'akel Yisale, Hu Eloika Hazman, God made it known that God is the, Avraham made it known that Hashem is the God of time, and He fashioned time, as in contradistinction to the sages of the nations of the world, who say, no, time always existed. One of the most fundamental tenets of Judaism, aside from the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created time and exists outside of time. In fact, the Rambam says the second most important principle in Judaism is that God created time. The Rambam says in the Mar Nevuchim, Parak Beis Ois Yud Gimel, that the first Hashkafa is Kol Hamamin B'Taras Moshehi Sha'olam B'Chlalusoi, the world in all of its fullness, Kolaymer Kol Hanimtza, anything that is found in this world, Prat L'Hashem, save for God, Hashem Himtzioi, God fashioned it, Achar Heder Amuchlet, after absolute vacuum. So the first, the most important principle in Judaism is creation ex nihilo, that God created all matter after nothing existed. And that means that the only thing that exists inherently is God. Everything else exists circumstantially because God decided it should exist. And if He didn't decide it should exist, it wouldn't exist. But we don't exist inherently. The way we should view it is, kiviyachal, draw like one of these comic bubbles. We're in the bubble. We're in the bubble because the one talking, Kihu Amar Vayahi, decided to make that bubble and to talk. And if he didn't decide, we wouldn't be in that bubble. So he exists perforce inherently. We exist circumstantially. That is the most important principle in Judaism. The second most important principle is that part of that bubble, part of that creation, is time. V'himtzi kol hanimtzam halalu, and He fashioned all of these creations, kefi shehem, the way they are, b'cheftzoi, by His desire, or etzoinoi, min ha'ayin, from nothing, v'gam hazman atzmai miklal hanivraim, time itself is one of those elements of creation. Ki hazman nisbach l'tenua, time is an adjunct to movement. And movement is a creation. The movement of the sun, the movement of the celestial bodies, the movement of the orbs of the heavens, the movement of the earth, which creates time, is a creation. And time is an adjunct to that, to movement. And says the Rambam, the Al Yala Belub Chazulasa, don't let it arise in your mind anything but this. Vehi Shnia Li Yisayt HaYichud. This principle, the principle of the creation of time by God, is the second most important principle, second only to the unity of the Creator. And you wonder, why is it so vital? Why is it so important? Why is it so fundamental to believe that God created time? This takes us to another Rambam, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam asks the fundamental question, if God knows, kol ma sheyia kodem sheyia, God knows everything that will be before it occurs. God knows what will happen in the Ukraine. God knows what will be with the economy. God knows all future events. God knows that this tzaddik or this person will be a tzaddik, this people are Russia. Now question, if God knows that Reuven will be a tzaddik, then that means Reuven has to be a tzaddik. So no, maybe Reuven could still be a Russia. Well, if he could still be a Russia, then God doesn't know. And if we say that God knows, so then Reuven then is compelled to be a tzaddik. Now, does God know Shimon's going to be a Russia? Oh yeah, God knows. Well then Shimon is compelled. Now, but Shimon could still be a tzaddik. Well then God doesn't know. That's the question of the Rambam. Does God have foreknowledge or does he not? If he does, then everyone's compelled. I remember I was once giving a shiur, and I asked, does Judaism believe in free choice? And a God-fearing Shomer Shabbos Jew said, of course not. Everything is controlled by God. So here he had a Jew. He learned Gemara every day. And until that year, he was a heretic. He was an apikores. Because he ate gefilte fish on Shabbos. And he even wore tzitzis. And he was makbid on gebrakst. And all the very important things. However, he was not a mammon in the Torah. Why? Because he didn't believe in Bechira Chavshis. Luckily, after the Shir, he was converted into a believing Jew. But one of the most fundamental tenets is Bechira Chavshis. But the Rambam's asking, where does Bechira Chavshis come in? If God knows, then the person's compelled. And the Rambam says, you should know, Shehatshuvas She'elazu Arucha Me'eretz Midr Chamin Ayam. The answer to this question is longer than the land and wider than the sea. And there are many important principles that hinge upon this. But you should know that I say that we already explained that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's knowledge is different than our knowledge. God's knowledge is not subjective, superimposed, external knowledge. It's not like we know things. We know things because we happen to know them. And if we didn't know them, we wouldn't know them. We just happen to know what we know. However, God doesn't know things because He happens to know them. He knows them perforcely. And this is what it means, Kiloi machshavoy say machshavoy seichem v'loi darcheichem derachai. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And therefore, we can't understand how God knows and yet gives a person opportunity to choose freely. Comes the Ravid, and the Ravid says, what? What is the Rambam saying? The Rambam has not accorded himself in the manner of Chachamim, because the Rambam began with a question and he did not supply an answer. What do you mean God doesn't know things the way we know? If you're not going to give a satisfactory answer, don't leave the people hanging. Don't ask the question, the Ravid says. What does the Rambam mean? Kiloi machshavoy say machshavoy seichem. And the Tiferes Yisrael says, no, the Rambam answered the question. The Tiferes Yisrael explains the Mishnah, HaKol Tzafoy, everything is known from the beginning, but Vaharashis Nasuna, but free choice is given. The Tiferes Yisrael explains, don't say, if God knew yesterday that today I would sin, then I was compelled to sin. Says no, the Tiferes Yisrael, no, that's if God's knowledge was like our knowledge, where our knowledge falls under the restrictions of time. So if we're going to know what the future will be, then that is a compelled outcome. But God exists beyond the future, beyond the past. He's Haya Haya V'Yia simultaneously. So the fact that he knows the future doesn't mean you were compelled to choose that way. Now, that's very difficult for us to understand because we can't imagine what a world would be like without time. But God lives beyond it. To Him, the past, future, and present are all the same. Says the Tiferes Yisrael, this is precisely the Rambam's answer to the Ravid's question and to his question. How can God know the future and yet a person not compelled? The answer is because God exists in the future and knows what you will choose, but you could still choose it. And that is why, Rabbi Yisai, the concept that God created time is the second most important concept in Judaism. Because the first, the most basic concept is the Yichud Hashem. But after that, it's all about one thing. It's about our actions in this world. And therefore, the most important principle in our realm is that we have absolute free choice to think, to feel, to do, to say, and nothing compels us. God does not prod us, He does not guide us, He does not suggest to us, but we have absolute free choice. Look at Rashi in the beginning of Ayetzeh. Rashi says, why didn't Hashem remind Yaakov Avinu when he passed by the Makom HaMikdash, say, hey Yaakov, maybe you want to stop here? Rashi says, which means, if Yaakov didn't think to stop in the Makom HaMikdash, God says, I'm going to stop him, says the Sifzei Chachamim. A person has free choice. Not only will God not stop Yaakov Avinu, God will not even remind Yaakov Avinu that maybe this is not a good idea. And therefore, this is in fact the second most important principle in Judaism. There is a Ribbono Shel Olam, and He created time. And therefore, this lamdus of Gitoy v'yadoy ba'en ka'achas, Mizbeach v'karben chatosay ba'en ka'achas, is a very fundamental tenet in Judaism, which can only be understood recognizing that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who created time. This past winter, I had the zechus to visit Yerushalayim HaKodesh, and I visited Yedidi, Rabbi Yitzchak Sokol of the Ir HaAtika, and we went up to his roof where he has a studio, and it's overlooking the Har HaBayis and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And Rabbi Yitzchak told me a vart from the Mekubalim. The Mekubalim say, when we say in Asher Yatzar, She'em yipaseach echad mehem, o yisaseim echad mehem, yiev shal hiskayim v'la'amoid lefanecha. That's where I stop. I don't say afilo sho'echas. Nosuch Ashkenaz is, yiev shal hiskayim v'la'amoid lefanecha. Nosuch Sfarad adds, afilo sho'echas. Literally we mean, if God would open up something that should be closed, or close something that should be open, we couldn't exist even for a moment. But there's a much deeper meaning. The world could not exist. You know what can exist? Even the concept of a minute couldn't exist. Even the creation of time couldn't exist without the constant intervention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only could the human being not exist, the idea, the concept of Sha'echos couldn't exist. So not only did God create the concept of time is recreated every moment. Hashem is infusing life into the concept and the creation of time. So you say, well, wait a second. If God's creation of time is so fundamental and important, then there should be like some, I don't know, pasuk somewhere, or a Mishnah on Pirkei Avos, that God created time. Why doesn't it say it anywhere that God created time? I don't know, maybe there should be a Gemara in Yevamos, like after Daf Tzadi Vav somewhere, that God created time. So I'm going to share with you. There happens to be a pasuk that you might be familiar with that conveys this idea that God created time. Maybe you got up to this pasuk. I'll tell you, it's pretty early on in the Chumash, so you may have gotten there. Bereshis bara Elohim es hashamayim v'es haaretz. Literally, Rashi says, Bereshis can't mean in the beginning, because it's davuk. In the beginning of what? So Rashi says, Ein mikro zeh oimer ela darsheni. This pasuk has to be darshened. Bishvil Torah shenikra reishis, Bishvil Yisrael shenikra reishis. However, there has to be a pashut pshat, an elementary reading of the pasuk. Bereishis bara Elohim, and in fact, comes the Goyin, comes the Malbim, comes the Talmidei Hagra. Bereishis time, beginnings are a concept that exists only in the framework of time. Bereishis time, bara Elohim, God created. Or Bereishis, together with the concept of time, bara Elohim es hashamayim es haaretz. So there are two similar ways to read it. Either Bereishis bara Elohim, God created time, or Bereishis, together with the concept of time, bara Elohim es hashamayim es haaretz. The Gra writes in Adras Elyo, the Beis is a Beis Zmani, like Biyoim, because Zman itself was created. Where the Malbim says, Bereishis, im Horatius shenivra oz, shuazman, with beginnings that were created then, which is time. You know, we say in davening, Baruch oise Bereishis, or Lasez gedula liyoitzer Bereishis. What does it mean? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yoitzer Bereishis. Oise Bereishis. You know, we're not saying he's oise masa Bereishis. Masa Bereishis would imply, who's there? Oise masa Bereishis would imply, oise masa Bereishis would imply that Hashem makes the works of creation, the acts of creation, the bria. But what is it in liyoitzer Bereishis? The creator of in the beginning? Losez gedula liyoitzer Bereishis? It's the language tamua. It should say liyoitzer Bereishis, not liyoitzer Bereishis. And without the word ma'ase, it's impossible to understand these words. So in the Siddur Hagra, in the Ishei Yisrael, they interpret liyoitzer Bereishis to the creator of time. That when it refers to ma'ase Bereishis, that refers to all the creations that were created in 6 days. When it says Oise Bereishis or Yoitse Bereishis, that refers to Hashem's creation of time. And the reason why this is so important, not only because this explains the lamdus of Gitoi V'yodoi Bon Ka'achas, Mizbeach V'karbonoi Bon Ka'achas, but the concept of Hashem's creation of time really allows for the most important concept of Judaism, namely the fact that we have Bechira Chavshis, and that nothing compels us in our decisions and in our choices, and that is what leaves Makom for Schar V'Oinash. Marv Raboisai, thank you for joining us today. Wishing everyone a wonderful day. Bracha V'Hatzlacha. And Kol Tov, everyone. Thanks for joining. Be well. Baruch Tia.
Thank you.
Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.